A boreal owl was calling in my backyard after the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. That sure seemed like a lovely sign, and I got one quick glimpse of it flying through the yard behind mine. My glimpse of the only eastern screech owl I've ever had in St. Louis County was even quicker. In both cases, I couldn't have possibly identified the bird had I not clearly heard it. But I got my most wonderful looks ever at a perfectly silent saw-whet owl when I took our Springer Spaniel puppy out at midnight one October evening. Betsy had a small white spot on her liver-colored back, and suddenly there was the owl, feet extended, heading straight for that spot until just millimeters from it, the owl suddenly realized this wasn't a mouse, it was a whole puppy. The owl pulled up its talons, flipping over in midair, and alighted in a spruce tree next to our house. I watched for several minutes as it looked all about, its whole body bobbing up and down and turning this way and that as it searched for a real mouse, every now and then making eye contact with me. Tragically, that was before I was photographing birds. I didn't see it, but a great horned owl alighted on my bird feeder a couple of weeks ago for less than a minute. I happened to have a trail cam on the feeder that night, and it caught 30 seconds of the owl looking all about, moving its head up and down as much as sideways. Most of the owls I've seen by day, including every saw-whet owl and great horned owl, seemed far more zen-like and still than those two. 2 weekends ago, my neighbor Amber across the street rescued a saw-whet owl that must have chased a rodent into their backyard shed. When she let it go, it flew up into a large backyard tree where it sat very still, allowing me to take lots of photos in late afternoon. As dusk approached, the little thing stretched and preened, giving me more photo ops. Most of the time, little owls are much safer when they hold still. When other birds notice them, they call out, alerting crows, jays, and robins, all of which get into full attack mode. Better to pretend you're a bump on a log and keep your yellow eyes hidden under thick eyelids. Larger owls seldom sit so fully exposed. The barred, great-horned, and long-eared owls that I usually see are hiding in the thick branches of a dense conifer or, in mild seasons, in thick, leafy foliage. When hunting by day, they often do sit where they're more exposed, which I've seen most with great gray owls. Snowy owls may be tricky to pick out in snowy fields, white on white, but when I do see them, there are at least no leaves to obscure the view. However tricky owls are for me to see, they don't seem to foretell anything. Snowy owls give us hints about the state of the lemming population in the Arctic, but they're even ambiguous about that. Some years, lots of snowy owls arrived down this way because the lemming population was at its cyclic low, and the owls spread out to find enough to eat. Other years, snowy owls arrive here because the lemming population has been wonderfully high, allowing snowy owls to produce exceptional numbers of young. Then, as the adults settle into their winter territories, a lot of young ones can't get a toehold and head our way. In both kinds of years, a great many of those snowies that made it down here do return to the Arctic come winter's end. So far this November, I haven't heard of any snowy owls our way yet. Weather-wise, this year's October winter seems to have melted into a bit of a November spring. I've yet to see an owl so far this month. Great horned owls maintain a pretty large winter territory, and the ones that sometimes show up in my yard may be a mile away for a week or more between visits. And even when they are around, unless they hoot, crows yell out, or I luck into a trail cam video, I hardly ever know when one is literally in my own backyard. Most saw-whets and long-eared owls are south of my area now, but some saw-whets remain through the winter, so I'm ever hopeful of seeing one. And when I do, I know it isn't an ominous sign of death or malevolence. Our paths simply crossed for one brief shining moment. And in a month when darkness reigns, that kind of moment can make all the difference. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.